morning, everyone. We will now open the Wednesday, February 5th, 2025 Discovery Bay Board of Directors meeting. And so we're calling the meeting to order. And now, Brian, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And Kelly, roll call.
Roll call to take it. Let the record show all members are present, with the exception of Director Porter, who is absent.
Thank you. And now is time for public comments. If anyone in the room, or do we have people on the line?
There are no hands raised currently.
Okay, that have any public comments for anything that is not listed on the agenda. Now is your time. You've got 3 minutes to come up to the podium. Please give us your name. Is there anyone who would like to make public comment? Anything that's not on the agenda?
No hands are raised.
All right, and with that, we will close public comment. And now we will go to the consent calendar.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Director Belcher?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Gateau?
Aye.
President Grant?
Aye. And now, this is the time where we usually have our area agencies, our regional partners, make presentations, but there's no one here from Diane Burgess's office, our supervisor, no one here from the sheriff's office, or Confire, but we do have a special guest tonight. Joe Lozado from Code Enforcement is here. Joe, would you please come up to the podium, and the microphone is on.
Good evening, folks. My name is Joe Lozado, currently the Code Enforcement Manager for Contra Costa County. Here to report on the activities for January of 2025.
Joe, could you stop? Can you all hear him in the back?
Everybody's project good. A little bit more if you would.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, code cases for January of 2025. We opened 13 new cases. Pretty much a lot of boating, travel trailer cases, a couple, four building cases. We also closed 69 cases, 53 of them being boating trailers and travel and trailers, boat trailers, whatever kind of RV there was. And right now there's a current caseload of 54 cases in Discovery Bay, which is what I'm trying to keep most of the code enforcement officers at, is between 50 and 70 at the most. When we start getting up into the hundreds, it really gets hard for them to follow up with everything. And if we're not following up monthly, people think we went away. And once they think we went away, it's harder to get the battle going. So the more we can be out there and talk with them and that, so that actually when we have a lower case level, the faster we go through them. And we tend to run a little more smoothly that way. We did have one grow in January 2025 over there in the lakes again. Cannabis guys hit it on a Saturday. We went out there on the following Monday because we heard that there was a bust out there. Riley and myself found an individual there, and he had two small children, ages 7 and 5, living in the house with a gas generator going on because the power had been cut. At that point, they were evicted from the house, told they couldn't come back until they get power.
Was that over on Byer?
No, it was over in the lakes.
Okay.
Most of all the grows are in the lakes because it's protected. There's not people walking around in the neighborhood, shouldn't be walking around the neighborhood, so they feel safer that they're in a gated community, which makes sense. But the fumes, they had the generator in a small room. I walked into the room not realizing the generator had been running 15 minutes before we got there. and I got a splitting headache within 30 seconds of being in there. It was, we also notified Children Protective Services, so they're going to be investigating the individual as well. If I would have witnessed that those kids in there at the same time as that going on, then somebody would have been on the jail that day. It's just something you don't want to see. So, other than that, I'm open to any questions right now.
Yeah. What is the status with the liquor store and the sign? I know y'all, in conversations with Riley, that there was an investigation opened. You know, did they have a permit? Is it in compliance with ordinances?
Yeah, they were issued a that place is lit up like a jailhouse right now. I mean, I was really surprised. So we're going to have to really work on getting the lights turned down over there. I'd hate to be living across the street right now.
I thought they turned them off a while. Are they back on again?
Oh, yeah.
We got pictures of them on tonight.
Oh, yeah, so they're on, yeah.
I thought that they were told they had to shut those off by the county.
They were. After I leave, I'm going to tell them again. Mm. I didn't want to get them angry at me and have them follow me over to the meeting. Unless you guys want to show next time, then I can do that.
Yeah, there's we get consistent complaints from the community about that. And they also obviously come to us.
And all the propane bottles and everything out front, gotta go. They're not allowed to have any of that on site. The signage, the window signs, what they have up where you can't see into the business, they have to go.
So what is it, what happens? You warn them, and then after they don't do it, you fine them? Is there a process?
We issued them a notice saying they have 10 days to cooperate.
Okay.
If they come in and start applying for the permits, then we consider that they're cooperating. If they drop off from the cooperation after being told other things they need to do, then we'll issue what we call a notice of intent. And that's basically saying that we're going to record something against their parcel in 10 days. So if they don't come back into compliance, then on the 11th day, we record something and that encumbers the title of the property. So if they go to refinance, get a loan rate, they're not going to get it. Then after that's tied up their title, then we start into the administrative fine where they would receive a $14,300 fine a month until they come into the compliance. That's what wakes them up.
My concern is whether or not the county is going to permit them to have those signs lit up like that, or if they, because there's a lot of complaints from the neighbors about that, about the size of the thing. Is it in compliance, first of all, and second of all, is there anything that could be done about not, I'm not for or against Mike, I know the owner, but just because we hear about it, is there any way, is the county going to approve those, that sign as a permanent situation, or do we know?
I'm not sure on that. That's a planning decision until they submit plans to the planner. The planner has no idea knowing where
to start
right now.
Got it. Well,
they have an idea from the pictures Riley took, but until tonight, they didn't know what it looks like at night.
Yeah, and typically, on something like that, we'll get notified as the governing agency out here for input and comments. So I guess we'll be looking forward to seeing something from the department on that. And then we can make our official comments through staff back to the county about what we prefer or not prefer.
Correct.
Okay.
There's also parking of commercial vehicles on that lot too, like food trucks and stuff.
That was also noted in the notice too, so. The little food truck's going to have to go, and that is becoming a county-wide issue. The food trucks, the corner vendors are taking over. They're actually putting restaurants out of business right now because the state has relaxed the qualifications for having a food truck or standing on the corner selling food and stuff. So they've made it pretty easy for those individuals to get the permits. And but half of them don't have it. You go down Willow Pass Road in Bay Point on a Friday night, they're almost on every corner.
So the selling of tamales and of flowers, we have an individual that sells a lot of flowers, they could have a permit that authorizes them?
They could, but generally, in my investigation, and generally the tamales and the food is for environmental health, which it's not too quick to respond to that stuff right now because they don't want to enforce, they want to educate. And so I've been moving them the area. If they don't have, if they can't display a permit, I said, you gotta go. And 2 days later, they'll be back. As far as the roses, I'm not sure. I just try to move them along, but that's become a new, the flower thing's new in the last year or so.
Joe, as far as ordinances go, is there anything in the works that's gonna impact us out here that you're aware of?
No.
No changes?
No changes.
Okay, and so we continue with the majority of the issues being boat and travel trailers.
And building without permits.
And I'm sorry, and building.
Building without permits.
And building without permits, okay.
Out here as well.
Huh, okay.
That seems to be on the rise because a lot of people, contractors and so, do not like our process now, the online, everything online, so. I think they have decided that the risk is not as great as the trouble. So now we have them willing to take this risk because there's more trouble.
Okay, any other questions?
Yeah, I just had a quick question, Joe. First of all, just seeing you guys, it's been a while since you've been out here. So if you could just give a quick overview as far as the county's size as far as your department and how many people are dedicated to us and how often we expect to see you out here and just kind of some general overview.
You have one dedicated code enforcement officer for East County. East County covers Byron, Madison, Discovery Bay, Bethel Island, and there's still a couple of spots unincorporated locally. That I'm trying to change. I will be in interviews Friday all day, and I think we're going to be trying to hire 6 more. Now, they won't all come to code enforcement, but I'm pushing for 4. And then I will probably have one person dedicated to Discovery Bay, Byron, another person dedicated to Knights and Bethel Island. So that will free up a lot for a person really to be able to concentrate out here. And they give better service out towards Bethel Island and Knights and as well.
Is there a specific agenda item that you guys are trying to accomplish for 2025? Like, this is the year that we're going to go after this or whatever that might be?
What I am doing right now for the MAP committees and everybody is asking them to give me 3 of their top priorities. Because of our staffing issues, that makes it where I can get the code enforcement officers to concentrate on those things for the communities, what they find most important. Because if, as a code enforcement officer, if I were to drive down any road here in Discovery Bay, I'd probably stop at every other house, if not every house. It's just, there's too much work for staff. And Discovery Bay is clean compared to going to Bay Point or out El Sabrante, Richmond. There's a lot of work out there, and it seems to be increasing.
Well, are you looking for any guidance from the board at this point, or just from the...
We are right now, we have 6 vacancies on the books, and we're trying to fill those, so I think we're doing a pretty good job on trying to... Now, we're interviewing 15 people for 6 positions. We'll be lucky to get 6 out of 15.
You have the budget for it, though. You
we start, have the budget.
It's just finding the people to fill it. That's the first step. I'm glad you have the budget for it.
Yeah, we have the budget for it, and then it's just, I've been sitting on interviews for 5 years, and it's amazing what comes to the table.
Yeah.
It's across from you. I mean, it's just, I had one guy who was so filthy, dirty, and I'm thinking, well, he's in construction. Maybe he snuck in here during lunch break. And at the end of the interview, he goes, man, I'm glad I took the day off for this.
Yeah.
Or some people just refuse to answer questions, just sit there and whether they're here for the interview just to keep their unemployment going. Get a lot of those.
Oh, yeah. All right, any other questions?
No, it'd be great for you to get those filled so we could be more proactive than reactive. Do you have a business card by chance?
Yes, I do.
Can I get that from you?
Yes.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. Thanks for coming out, too. Appreciate it.
Bye.
We'll have that added on our next MAC meeting agenda to come up with the 3 items to send you.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah,
it helps us out.
Yeah, definitely.
Important to them.
Wonderful. All right, thank you so much.
Thanks, Joe.
No further questions, I'm gonna head for the barn.
There you go.
Thank you.
The liquor store.
No, I've been going since 6 o'clock this morning, so.
All right, thank you so much, Joe. Greatly appreciate it. All right.
Yeah, I've got a comment I'd like to make before we move on. Since Lieutenant, now Captain, Jack Wes has been promoted and she's not here tonight because of that, I just want to make a statement about how wonderful it's been to work with her and her team and how great she has supported our community, and wanted to officially just thank her very much on the record for all that she's done for us. And hopefully her replacement will be just as responsive. But we're going to miss her for sure. But congratulations on the promotion.
Yeah.
If I could say, code enforcement's going to miss her as well. After I had my surgery, she called me numerous times to check up on me and see if I was okay.
That's wonderful. Yeah, she's a great person.
She was promoted out of the Delta.
Sorry?
Yeah, she's police chief of Richmond.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right, and with that, we will go to item G1, which is Mike.
Yes. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, I think you can see me as well.
That's correct.
Yes.
All right, thank you very much. So this item is related to the Newport subdivision project. And attached to the staff report is a drawing of where the sewer line that will be serving the subdivision will be installed on Newport Drive, between Newport Lane and Slifer Drive. So that figure is attached, and you can see in there, there's an access road that is planned to be built over the sewer line area for maintenance reasons. And so on this project, as we were finishing up the plan review for the project, and we came to realize that the developer was installing the sewer line to the north, across the property to the north, and granting us an easement, we needed a way to get onto the property. And so we worked with the developer to come up with this plan to have an access road. It's a gravel access road so that our trucks can get out there safely and properly maintain the sewer line. And in the meantime, the developer told us that they have to go back to the county to get approval for this access road, and that's going to hold them up on building their homes. And so we reached an agreement with them so that they could move forward with their project and provide guarantees to the town. So for example, I'm going to go through the 7 items here in my list, or in the list on the staff report, that are most important in the agreement for you. So first off, the access road will be built at the expense of the developer, so no cost to the town. They're covering all of our costs. They're even going to deposit $150,000 to the town as a guarantee that the road will be built. And in the event they do not build the road, we will have the right to build the road using their $150,000 plus any additional funds that may be needed at their expense to finish construction of this access road. And they'll be providing us an easement for the sewer line and the access road. And until the access road is completed, the developer will be responsible for maintaining the sewer line and the subdivision sewer system at their expense. And in case there's any sewer overflows, they've agreed to be responsible for paying any fines that might occur for any sewer overflows while they're maintaining the sewer system. And the last item here, number 7, we have the now specifications on the water side. The developer has to give us a 3-year guarantee on the water facilities that they install after we accept them. But on the sewer side, because we follow the Central Sanitary District specifications, they only have a 1-year guarantee. So what we want to do moving forward is have a 3-year guarantee on everything that we get from developers. So they've agreed to include a 3-year guarantee as well on the entire sewer system and the road and the sewer line going up to connect to the Newport lift station. So that's an important thing that we were able to have the developer agree to, which I think is a huge benefit for the town. So with that, that's kind of a summary of the agreement that's attached to the staff report. I'm happy to answer any questions.
I would just comment comment that we reviewed in depth that agreement earlier at the Water Wastewater Committee meeting, and we would recommend that the board follow staff's recommendation.
Hey, Mike, Director Coteau, a couple quick questions, hopefully. So this, I'm not that familiar with these type of proceedings when it comes to new construction projects. It just seems like some of these items would have been included in the approval process from the town initially.
Well, normally the way a project would go is that things would go kind of lockstep, sequential, to where they build everything and then we accept it and they start building houses. But because this is a bit different, see, originally we were thinking about having the pipeline, the sewer line in the roadway. But as you can see from the diagram, there's a lot of utilities in the roadway. And so we have to, you know, figure out how do we solve this problem, which is why we said, okay, we'll accept the sewer line off the roadway, but you have to give us this easement. So that took a lot of time. And so it's just because it's a little bit of a different project.
And I'm not overly concerned with that. I'm just kind of curious how, it's just the first time being on the board that we've seen this type of request come through. So I was just kind of curious. But then again, we're having a lot of projects. Where did the $150,000 number come from? Is that the cost of building a new easement road?
Yes, it is.
And that's based on some REOs?
No, the estimate that was received from the contractor is working on it.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I do. So there is a provision in here that if there isn't county approval by August 22nd of this year, then the town can go ahead and build the road and comply with any state. It looks like there's some environmental requirements that they would need. Does the county still have final jurisdiction at the very end, though, to approve the road?
No, they would not, because it would then transition from a developer project to a town project, and the town is exempt from any county jurisdiction when it comes to water and wastewater facilities like this.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
I had one more question on the warranty. So where does the warranty come from? Who's
the developer?
So do we retain the $150,000 until the warranty is expired, or?
No, that's just the $150,000, let's say that they go ahead, they get county approval, let's say 3 or 4 months from now, and they go ahead and start building the road. As they're building the road and they receive invoices from the contractor, we'll then transfer those funds back to them sequentially to pay those invoices. But no, we typically do not have any money from developers for the warranty. It's just in our agreement.
Yeah, and that may or may not be of importance. I don't know. I'm just asking the question. Because theoretically, the developer could go away and 3 years from now we have a problem, then we have no recourse to go after anybody. So,
sometimes what we'll do, and this is a bit of an evolving subject with legal counsel, that we want to develop a much stronger facilities installation agreement to where we actually, in the future, put language in our agreements where we actually have like a maintenance bond the developer will give us to give it for exactly what you're saying. Yes.
Perfect.
Excellent. Board, any other questions for public comment? Any questions?
I have a question about.
Could you please come up to the podium and say your name? Thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to be here. And I just have a question about traffic. Is that addressed from him or from the county or?
The only thing that we would be talking about right now is the sewer line. And so if you have traffic issues, let's chat afterwards, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, there's absolutely.
There's a project that's over there and there's signage over there, they don't follow any kind of Caltrans rules.
Okay, all right. We'll talk right afterwards. All right, any other? Okay, when we come back. Anybody want to make a motion?
I move staff recommendation.
I second.
Director Belcher?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Coteau?
Aye.
President Graham?
Aye. Okay, and now Aaron?
Thank you all. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. And now we are on to item 2, discussion of possible action regarding Hurwit Engineering General Services contract to add $50,000.
Evening, Board. So in front of you is the executive summary, recommended action of the Hurwit General Services contract. In the past, years past, we've used Hurwit Engineering as our consultant on the wastewater side, and their general services contract has always been $75,000. Same as this year, we renewed that contract in July 1st of 2024. And from that time frame to this time frame, we've had a lot of developers come in regarding Newport, Seagrass, Pantages, property across the street, also at the entrance of Highway 4 and Sturman Boulevard. And their inquiries have been water and wastewater related. Hurwit is primarily, it is just wastewater. And with their information requests collecting, we've contracted, or we've asked Hurwit Engineering to gather that information and get back and to give it to the developer, give it to us and give it to the developer. The problem with that is those get billed back to the developer. So anytime the developer asks for work, we contract Hurwit. Hurwit gives us the general service contract agreement, amount of work you put in that general service contract, then we bill the developer. The problem is the developer has used about $50,000 of that $75,000 contract. Hurwit Engineering has only used $25,000 from July to today's date, or in the December date. So what we're looking to do is replenish that general services contract with $50,000 for Hurwit to continue out this contract till the end of the year. Because right now in the books, it looks like we've used $75,000 strictly just for the Hurwit Engineering contract, general services contract. And then starting July, we'll have another contract with Hurwit Engineering for development work that will be billed in a separate bucket for developers when they come in. I hope that came out.
What? No. What are there? Any questions from the board?
I have one that's just a little off from this, but it's related. So this has to do with engineering services that are beyond the scope of the services that the town would, the information the town would be able to provide.
Correct.
To the developer. If a developer comes to the town and is requesting information and engages the team, the water team here, is there a charge? Is the developer charged anything for the time? And maybe this doesn't occur. I don't know. I'm just asking the question because I don't know. Is the developer charged for your time that you devote to any questions or interaction with them?
Yeah, they are charged staff time. So if it requires us to do work, looking over the reviews, the planning, even in our meetings that we discuss about it, all those times for staff also gets billed back to the developer.
Okay, excellent.
At Fulbright.
Okay, great.
Right, any questions?
No, it just sounds like we just an administrative process there, moving some money around to cover some accounts and receivables.
Absolutely. Any public comment on the phone or in the room?
No hands are raised.
And with that, we'll bring it back to the board. And we did discuss this in water, wastewater, and agree with what you have said. And we think this is a good move. So, anybody want to make a motion?
I move that we approve this the Hurwit Engineering General Services contract.
Second.
Director Belcher?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Buteau?
Aye.
President Graham?
Aye. All right, and next, Dina, we're going to talk about setting the date and time of our annual board workshop.
As I'm here again, so every March we hold an annual board workshop. And what that is, is that we go over our year's accomplishments and then a small snapshot of future, what we're going to be doing in the next year. And so we do this every year. We typically do it around March. And so I kind of offered up a couple of dates that would work well with staff and enable us to get the materials together. It's a presentation. It starts at about 4 o'clock and it can go about 2 hours. Typically it lasts about an hour, hour and a half. Along with that, staff does their presentation and then we do a little legal training after that as well. So Andy and I have been talking about some items that we'd like to bring forward this time. But this is up for your discussion, and if these days work for your schedule.
Okay, so the primary recommended date is March 20th. Does that work for you?
Kev? Yeah, I'm okay. I'm back in town.
Okay. No, it works for me. All right.
Did Ashley get asked about that date?
I didn't personally call her, but she had the agenda materials.
Okay.
So I can check with her tomorrow.
And that's at 4 o'clock?
4 o'clock.
All right. With that, do we need to make a motion on that?
You set the date and time, just so take.
So we're just setting the date and time.
Yes.
We don't need to do anything else.
Make a motion.
Okay. Yeah. And if there.
Yes. Please make a motion.
We do make a motion.
Yes. Make a motion.
Yeah. And with that, if Ashley does have an issue, then maybe we could go back and see what other dates would work until we get confirmation from
her.
Well,
you make your motion.
But we can say that.
Ashley will conform.
No, but couldn't we say that in the motion? Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Well, I guess you're going to make, I guess it's, your motion is going to be what your motion is.
Motion to have, yeah, to have a meeting on the 20th, unless.
Okay, so your motion is going to change.
We may have to
change it. We
can always change the motion if we need to, but let's go ahead and just make the motion. I'll make the motion that we set the annual board meeting for March 20th at 4 o'clock per staff's recommendation.
I'll second.
Director Belcher?
Aye.
Director Grace?
Aye.
Vice President Gutteau?
Aye.
President Grant?
Aye. And now, landscape update.
Okay, so want to share with you, we're already in February, so some of the work we've been doing in January when we came back from break. The first slide, please. I thought this was interesting. I wish I could have the dump trailer back to back to back to back, but when people wonder what landscape people do in the winter months, we get the leaves all over town, and there's a lot of them. So this is just an example of how hard they work. Fortunately, it was not raining in January, so last year we were out there in the rain doing it. But this is just an example of, and like I said, there was several dump trailers full, so I wanted to kind of show that. When you see that picture, I think it kind of speaks a lot to the in-between work mm-hmm. that the crew does as well.
And what do we do with those trailer leaves when we're done?
We go to plant one.
is it, we have a burn, after the burn, the box is out?
Yeah, leaves are hard to burn. They create a lot of smoke, mm-hmm. so we've kind of got a pile. We lay them out. They flatten over time, and they disperse. The plant one's got a lot of land.
But we're making use of the burn box that we bought, right?
Oh, yeah. Right. We've been burning a lot. Like, we've been taking advantage of dry January. yeah, we've got that pile has gone way down. So still more to do, but yes, we definitely use that. The next slide, please. Again, I always like to just kind of show some of the street work that we're doing in between befores and afters. When we're not mowing and we try to, right now, take care of a lot of this, just the deep kind of cleanup work and just working our way through town. And then the next slide, which y'all are going to just keep getting this every month because we're so proud of our lawn at Cornell Park. I'm afraid to take that orange fence down, but it's had a couple of mows. Still wanted to get a little stronger, let the roots really take hold, but it's looking really great if you haven't been by there. And I just feel like pictures don't do some of the stuff justice, but it's very green and pretty.
No, I live right by there, and it looks really, really nice.
Good.
Yeah, I'm just looking forward to the orange fence because it's been up for about a year.
So it's been up for more than a year.
Yeah. And so do you anticipate by when, like in the next 30 days? Maybe?
February, March. You know what? I'm not going to promise anything. It depends on how much rain we get, how muddy it gets. I don't want to invite anybody to go in there quite yet until it's really taken root. And
That was all planted. That wasn't sod, right?
That was seed. We seeded that.
Yeah,
we
that's
grew,
great.
We
yeah,
tilled
that's amazing,
it.
Actually.
We seeded it. We fertilized it. We babied
great
it.
Great job.
We talked to it. We.
So that's what that was.
So Director Belcher, I'm afraid to give it to. I'm really being very cautious. We want that orange fence down just as well, but we've come so far with this and it looks so good. I just don't want to take it down until we're really sure that if someone goes in there and...
What are those golf carts?
While we're on that Cornell Park subject, will we look into any further putting bollards or something along the parking lot so we don't end up losing everything we put our time into? Or where is that a project that's coming up? I don't know that we've heard of that.
It's something I've been working on for a month.
Okay.
And I do have some information. But when we
received our price. That's fine. You obviously have to come back with a price and let us know what the estimated costs are. I just want to make sure you are working on it because I think it's very important.
We've just recently received the quotes.
Okay, fantastic.
Our files popped out, so we'll be bringing that to the rec.
Okay, good. I'm glad you worked on it.
Okay, next slide. Okay, our islands. This is South Point. I've got two slides, South Point 1 and 2. Just want to show the difference. You can see that the ice plant, the dirt, the weeds, and we've gone again to the dryscaping, the dry creek bed look. We are meeting all California regulations for water, conservation. We got away from the bark that everybody was, so you know, rock is it. It's really, I think, kind of hard to tell in pictures, but when you're standing there in real life and you see the plants that we put in there with the bubblers, you have to kind of, they're small right now, right? We planted like 1 gallons. So when they mature, the area, I think, with the greenery that's gonna overflow, but I did a style that it won't be get too big, like those oleanders, right? So that they won't be real difficult to manage. Mm-hmm. But they will mature, fill in the area, and the people on South Point, we've gotten great feedback.
Yes. No, they look great. Good
Thank
job.
You.
Yes.
Yeah, and then the next slide is also South Point because there's two islands, so you can kind of see, again, look at the before, you know, on the left. It just, to me, is quite an improvement. Next slide should be Cabrillo. The residents on Cabrillo are continuing to email in and call complimenting. They're just so happy.
This is at the very end, right?
Yeah.
The very end of Cabrillo. Yeah.
Very end, yeah. And the next slide I think shows that very end one, Kevin. There you go.
Oh.
So you can see what it was, and we took those, you know, left some of what we had repurposed. So we had some river rock there, so repurposed that as well to include in the dry creek bed. But it just makes the area look so much better. And like I said, those residents over there just continue, got a call again saying, thank you so much. And then the next one is, it's just a little sneak peek at Discovery Point. Discovery Point has a total of 4 islands. These are the first 2 smaller ones. They're not done yet, but I kind of wanted to give you an idea of the look. And in this picture, you can see a little more of the plants. So if you can really kind of visualize again, once they mature, how I think it's just gonna make the area look that much better. That's all I have for January.
Thank you so
and
much.
And then we did a lot of storm damage cleanup the last couple days. Any questions?
No, nope, looks great. Fantastic job.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, and with that, a general manager's report.
Yes, so I've been working with CPSHR to create the ad for the assistant general manager hire. I believe that's complete and should be going to posting soon, so look for our website on social media, and then CPSHR will be posting it on their board in 2 weeks.
To come in. That's excellent. Director's reports. Do you have anything else, Dina, before we...
Yeah, the Finance Committee did not meet. It was the meeting was canceled for this afternoon, so there was not a meeting. The Water Wastewater Committee meeting, there was one thing that... we already talked about the items that came up before that, and then there's going to be some state-mandated devices that we're going to have to put on some of the homes here in Discovery Bay. But we really don't have any details on that yet. It's in the process of being writing an ordinance and figuring out how we're going to do that. But down the road, there's going to be some decisions the board's going to have to make with regards to mandated backflow devices that are going to have to go into a good percentage of the homes here in Discovery Bay.
The house is on the water.
That's all we did.
Wonderful. Thank you. And any questions on the Kevin Graves meetings that he went to? No correspondence? Any legal report? No? All right. Future agenda items. Dina, could we have that item put on for Mac just to come up with the 3 code enforcement issues that we can send to Joe? And this isn't really a future agenda item, but what can we do as a board? Can we send a letter of appreciation to to Lieutenant Jaquez, or is there a certificate we can send or something to show how much we have appreciated our time with this? And with that, anyone else have any future agenda items? Okay, with that, we'll adjourn the meeting at 7:43.